Yeah, man. So we back in the
club with the bodies rocking from side to side. This is Kid Cudi. And I'm here to talk to you about waterboarding and Jesse Ventura. One of the things with waterboarding is it actually is torture. What they do is they put a certain thing over your face, and then they take water. They put a towel over your face too. They hold it down tight, and they take the water and they pour it on your face. And basically, it's used as a technique to get information from terrorists or anyone like that. It's actually quite gruesome. I don't know if you guys have seen any videos on it and what they do, but it is it's torture. And another thing is that people have actually died from being waterboarded. And if people think waterboarding is so good, then why doesn't everybody do it to get information from somebody? Part of the reason is it's torture. It's bad. It sucks. It's like drowning while wearing a mask. It's not fun at all. At all. And any of you that have ever been waterboarded, that really sucks. Now, what I'd like to talk about is something a little bit different. The Bob Lazar story. First of all, we know Bob Lazar came out and started saying that what was going on at Area 51. And I want to kind of talk about the gravity generator. Bob Lazar, when he worked at Groom Lake or Area 51 back in the 80s on a back engineering program, it began in 1979, and he says that an exchange program with the ETs occurred in the 70s, which resulted in the acquisition of 9 UFOs so that their technologies could be researched. That they were indeed strange craft at Area 51, and this was corroborated by David Adair's visit there in 1971. Now, the following is an analysis of the way sometimes UFOs travel. It's the rubber sheet explanation of space-time manipulation, and this is coming from Bob Lazar. He says that, assuming they're in space, they will focus the three gravity generators at the point they want to go. Now, to give an analogy, once again, this is Bob Lazar saying this. Let's see. To give an analogy, okay. If you take a thin rubber sheet and lay it on a table and put thumbtacks in each corner, then take a big stone and sit it on one end of the rubber sheet and say that's your spacecraft. You pick out a point that you want to go, which could be anywhere on the rubber sheet. Pinch that point with your fingers and pull it all the way up to the craft. That's how it focuses and pulls that point to it. When you then shut off the gravity generators, the stone or the spacecraft follows that stretched rubber back to its point. There's no linear travel through space. It actually bends space and time and follows space as it reacts, or as it retracts. In the first mode of travel around the surface of a planet, they essentially balance on the gravitational field that the gravity generators put out, and they can ride a wave like a cork does in the ocean. In that mode, they're very unstable and are affected by the weather. In the other mode of travel, where they can travel vast distances, they can't really do that in a strong gravitational field like Earth. Because to do that, first of all, they need to tilt on their side. Usually out in space, they can focus on the point they need on the point they need with the gravity generators, and they can move on from there. If you can picture space as a fabric and the speed of light as your limit, it'll take you so long. Even at the speed of light, to get from point A to point B, it'll still take a really long time. You can't exceed it. Not in this universe, anyway. Should there be other parallel universes? Maybe the laws are different. But anyone that's here has to abide by those rules. Now, that's really pretty interesting if you think about it, how you can bend space and time and follow space as it reacts. Or is it retracts, I'm sorry. It's also weird that they say UFOs fly like that by using that type of method. Now, Bob Lazar stated that that's how the UFOs fly. There's other parts to it. And things like that. But that's all I really wanted to go over for now. If you guys have any suggestions, just give me a shout out, and I'll see what I can do about them. Give me something, I'll research it and put it on the show. The next show that I'm doing is going to be about Element 115. I'm signing out. Bye.